Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip, LeBron James with the chase down block on Solomon Hill last night. I mean, Richard, how is this still happening in year 17?
I don't know, but he did it to my Arizona guy. That's just like, Solomon, you grew up watching him.
I mean, people know he's coming.
Yeah, he set the example game one, Landry Shamet.
And he only tries certain people now. Before, he used to try, he'd try and chase down Kawhi. Now he's like, just the little guard.
Richard, it's October. You gotta pace yourself.
Okay, that's there. That new graphic. Look at that.
Look at that. Look how fancy we've gotten.
That's beautiful.
You leave for a week or two, and look what
happens.
Things
get better.
Things get
I respect that so
much better. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm joined by our Lakers reporter, Dave McMenamin. And the man on the end who's been to four NBA finals, one NBA ring ceremony, and I was going to make a joke about
I've been to multiple ring ceremonies, just not mine.
Well, there
right?
you go.
Other teams have gotten their rings, and I've gotten to watch.
That's good. They like to have you on hand for that.
Yeah,
one time they gave him a ring, though. Aww. So that's good. Richard Jefferson. Thank you guys for being here. Coming up, we're going to talk about Anthony Davis posting that 40-20 game in just three quarters of action last night. Is this the start of an MVP campaign? First, though, Jimmy Butler hasn't been sleeping much this past week. He has a new baby, a little girl, which had been keeping him from his other new baby, the Miami Heat. Originally, none of this was supposed to overlap. The baby was supposed to come during the preseason. But babies, even babies born under Pat Riley's rigid watch, do not stick to schedules. And so Jimmy found two of the most important ventures of his life starting simultaneously as he missed the first three games of the regular season. By last night, though, both mother and child were home and happy, allowing Butler's career with the Heat to get off to a rollicking official start. Here's a little peek into Jimmy's mindset pregame.
Hey, can y'all put on a Undertaker theme music as I'm walking out, please?
Once the ball tipped, Butler wasted no time, driving in for the Heat's first bucket and many more. After that, he would score 12 of Miami's first 20 points and then just kept going from there. This cross on Tyrone Wallace, not nice.
Oh.
Not nice. There were also plenty of moments like this. Jimmy voluntarily taking a Cam Reddish elbow to the face to draw the call.
Not so much right
And
here.
Somewhere, Alonzo Mourning is nodding and smiling.
I love that.
Butler has a reputation for wanting to be a team's alpha, and that's certainly earned. But he is never among the league leaders in usage. He has a track record of leaving room for his teammates to also flourish. And last night, that teammate was Tyler Hero, who broke out with a 19-point second quarter.
Such a great name.
Hero was just an absolute marksman. Look at this. Make. Make. Just make.
Yeah.
He would finish
the
night with 29 points, the most scored by a Heat rookie since Dwayne Wade did it in 2004. Now, afterward, Hero played that part down. But obviously, if you are hitting any of Wade's records just four games into your rookie season, things are going well for you. There was one damper on last night's game. Trae Young, who had gotten off to an absolutely sizzling start this season, left in the second quarter with that ankle sprain you're watching. Now, fortunately, follow-up evaluations this morning found no significant injury. Young didn't even need an MRI, and he is expected back next week. Butler is expected back next game. Like every parent in the world, his work routine will now be a juggle.
He's a baby Butler.
He won't miss any more time and said his new role as a dad will give him even more purpose.
I started looking at life different a long time ago, but I definitely look at it way differently now. I feel like every time I leave the house, every time I hop in the car, every time I do anything, it's like, yo, I gotta make it home. So I look forward to having that feeling for the rest of my life.
Butler realizes he's still got a bunch of sleepless nights ahead of him, but as he showed last night, his game is fully awake and ready for a real run in Miami.
He's not getting sun out there.
He's You're really upset with the hand.
I am. I just,
you got daughter.
Look at the jokes are fine. They have Dave McMenamin's hand in Jimmy Butler's face. It's just, I'm not saying Dave is the most.
Part of the humor.
And I'm pointing out the. Is it not funny if you point it out?
I want to know what you think about, Jimmy Butler's
actual
on-court action. How do you think he fits in with the Heat?
I think he fits in great. One, they're looking for an alpha, right? So I think that's great. And the second part about it is that there are a couple of places that you can go where you have to like fit into and know that you're going to fit San Antonio, Miami, Pat Riley, Pop. So when you go there, you know that this is not about me. This is about me coming in and fitting in. And I think Jimmy can relinquish some of the kind of stuff that might have followed him showing up in a place he wanted to be.
But I think in terms of the personnel, they're fitting around him, not the opposite way around. He could have been the third cog with the Lakers potentially, you know, had they gone down that road. He could have returned to Philadelphia and played part of that system. But he got to be the guy down in Miami, and now they have some younger pieces that are fitting alongside him, clearly as the betas. Even someone who has an alpha personality like Deion Waiters has, you know, we don't, he's basically been out of the picture
No, I'm just saying it from a standpoint of like, I mean, he's not fitting in.
But he believed, no, I'm saying, but
Deion Waiters' Deion Waiters' issues don't seem to revolve around Jimmy Butler. They seem separate and dealing with coaching staff. Deion Waiters is no longer suspended. He was spending some time, even after his one game suspension, he was spending some time away from the team. He has returned to the team as of yesterday. We don't know when he will be back.
Thank you for that Wikipedia entry and all the correct information. No, I wasn't saying. I'm saying my point is, though, the team has made it clear that this is all about Jimmy Butler this year. Mm-hmm. And he is not running with it and being a tyrant with it thus far. It seems like he is trying to find a role that will help everyone else. And, you know, you could say you want about him, but he has the work ethic and he has the, you know, the want to be the guy late in games. He's the leading scorer in the fourth quarter last year for the Philadelphia 76ers. When you talk about a group that is still trying to figure out who they are, it's really nice to have that piece in place already. So it's like when the games get tight, we know who the guys are. And if we just have to play hard as Bam Adebayo or Justin Winslow or Tyler Hero for the first three quarters and then hand it over to Jimmy, what a great situation to be
in. And that's the thing that I think they're going to miss in Philly. We're not going to talk about Philly too much, but it's like that last 5 minutes was Jimmy Butler time.
Yes.
Right? It was not Tobias Harris time. It was not Ben Simmons time. And it wasn't Joel Embiid time. It was Jimmy Butler time. And so, yes, to be in a place, like you said, where, hey, Jimmy, it's yours. You're not in Minnesota anymore. You're not going to ask to be something in Philly. This is yours. Go do it.
And for all the thorny sides he has to him, when he was in Philly last year, when I was covering them in the playoffs, every single post-game press conference, which is a huge part of the playoff experience for guys, he was sitting next to Joel Embiid. And Joel Embiid had a tough playoffs last year, missing some time and dealing with the knee injury and all that stuff and some sickness. And Jimmy was right there to take the heat, to be maybe a bodyguard or perhaps a buddy for Embiid. That's leadership.
Maybe
and
he's Butler.
He brought it back.
And again, there's a reason you're on a sports show and not a comedy show. It's amazing. I was backing up your point about Deion Waiters, saying it was not a Jimmy issue. It was a totally separate issue. And look, to your point about the team fitting into team culture, I think when you go to a place like a Heat and you're Jimmy Butler, he doesn't have to adjust because the things that he's had issues with, guys don't play as hard as me, right? That was one of his issues in Minnesota, right? He's like, guys don't know who they are and who they're supposed to be on the team. That was another issue with Tibbs and the Timberwolves. Both of those are always taken care of on a Pat Riley team. Yeah. Guys are playing hard and everyone knows their role.
But the one thing about being an alpha and the greatest ones that I've played with and watched, they raise people's level. You don't just complain about it and they're like, you're right. They're not playing as hard, so we're going to get them out, and we're going to build around you, and we're going to get people in here that do play as hard as you because that's the standard that we want to. But that was never the case in the last few places. They were like, all right, well, we're going to get you out.
Well, that was not the case. It didn't seem in Minnesota. In Philadelphia, I back up what Dave said.
Yes.
Joel Embiid sat with me a month ago and said, I wish Jimmy Butler was still on this team.
Yeah.
I wanted them to re-sign him. We could have been, you know, partners for life was the way he spoke of it. So I think he did help his teammates.
In
we had
Philly.
That, like, sort of wired video right during one of the playoff games of him trying to back up and hype up Joel. So I think he's done that. I think obviously he's a strong personality, but that strong personality fits in Miami. And they do want him to be that late game guy. So him wanting to be the guy isn't a problem there either.
Yeah.
In the end, you got to find the place that fits the peg that you are. Richard is still looking for that place. Maybe it's here, maybe it's not. We'll find out the rest of the show. You should stay with us because coming up, the Mavericks pulled off a tough road win in Denver despite their duo not having the best night. So we're going to ask what you learned about the Mavs last night. You can chime in on Twitter or we'll hear what these guys have to say. First, though, here's our distant replay from this date in 2001 featuring our guy, the Jump's own, Tracy McGrady. T-Mac, we got you. Uh-huh. Take a look.
What are we going to get? Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What happens? 6'9" with bounce.
Oh, one of the first
oh, former. Oh.
Sorry, Mo Pete.
Oh, that was former teammate.
Yep.
Oh.
It's a make or miss league.
It's a make or miss league.
I'm not really sure about that.
It's a make or miss league.
Rachel, it's a make or miss league. How many times do I have to tell you?
I mean, Coach, we're going to run it through it every day. Miss, hands, LeBron missing the technical free throw, then kicks it in the air. Then Jay Crowder going with the header. So, Richard, I know some NBA players wish they were NFL players. I don't know if these guys should try soccer.
No. So, like, all of us are way too big for soccer. Right. Like, Steve Nash, he'd be a very tall soccer player. But no, I think this is right. They're doing what we need to do.
And the miss was acting because Jay Crowder was trying to pretend he was hurt.
Injury. Yeah, no. Those braids, nothing's penetrating those braids.
Aww.
But that does make him like a soccer player.
Right. Faking injury. Yeah, make creativity. Check out this slam by Globetrotter Maxwell Pierce. Throws down the dunk and catches a baseball at the same time. I think we should just combine the NBA and the World Series games tonight. They could just do this. Both teams out there, all four teams, just go.
Didn't the South Park guys do that years ago? Basketball? Is this basketball in dunk form?
I'm just saying.
Basketball is awesome. One.
It was a great movie.
Noonan, right?
First of all, do not mock basketball.
No,
basketball. Second of all.
But like, how do you think, you know what I want to do tonight? It's like, what? I guess combining two sports, I guess that's cool. I mean, that's hard.
You combine drinking and eating at night, so.
More just drinking.
Drinking. There you go. Miss Clarity. Max is nice. Hit us up with another impression yesterday. This time it's LeBron.
That's funny.
But there was also an Anthony Davis lookalike at the Lakers game last night. So I want to know, Rich, which is more convincing?
You need a fuller beard. I think that the Klay Thompson, this one is hilarious. The run is what got me. The run is amazing.
Wiping the hand.
I do like how the basket is like, you know, an 8-footer maybe.
That was funny. Whoever that dude is.
The Anthony Davis guy has some facial structure things that are the same, but yeah, he needs
a thicker beard.
Make emphasis. Back to Miami. We had a lot of above the rim highlights in Miami last night out on the bay. A Jabari slam, a Bam block, a Cam Reddish dunk, Myers Leonard's block.
Ooh, that wasn't a block. Oh, look at that.
And Richard, you have a theory about the floor?
I stand by this. They have the best floor in the NBA. If you want to jump, you combine that with the weather in Miami.
It's like bouncy.
No, not bouncy. It's just, you just get great grip. You're not slipping on that floor.
It's a little more humid there.
And your body feels good in that weather. Cause everyone's coming from winter places.
Right.
You touch down there. It's nicer. The humidity. Body feels good. That's why old people move to Florida.
You only get that type of analysis here. I've never heard the best jumping floor before in the entire time.
You asked if there's a good shooting gym.
Yeah. The shooting gym. He says the garden.
Yes, the garden.
The lighting.
Well, for the road team.
The Knicks won a game the other night. Can we just let them live for like one day? They have two games they're not favored
in. It's been 2 days.
Next, so I'm just saying. The Mavs, let's talk about them because they pulled off a very impressive road win last night against the undefeated Nuggets, previously undefeated until Dallas came to town. Even more surprising, the Mavericks got just 22 points from their superstar duo of Doncic and Porzingis. The Mavs' depth had been a question, but they had 9 players in double figures in this game, Richard. So what did you learn about them last night?
Well, if they can continue this depth, right, that's what's going to – and that's what Denver has you know, always kind of had the last few years, is that depth. And I think the Mavs, I didn't think they were ready to make that jump yet, right? But if you can win games with your two best players struggling, but if you look at that depth and what was going on, I don't know if I'm going to get 5-for-8 from DeLon Wright. I don't know if I'm going to get 4-for-4 every night from Justin Jackson, right? So there's a bunch of guys that played a very good game. So to go anything that is needed to go get a win in Denver is impressive, but that depth, I don't know, is going to be continued.
Tim Hardaway Jr. stands out to me because he's already bounced around the league a little bit, and young players, you know, they want to establish themselves over the team usually. He's made some statements about wanting to start, but he came off the bench, and if he can accept that role, that can really help the Mavericks moving forward. And, you know, going into the year, I thought the Mavericks would be kind of competing with Golden State Warriors for that 8th seed. Right now, I give the Mavericks the heads up.
If you had to say today, Warriors or Mavericks make the playoffs? Question that 2 years ago would have gotten you kicked off the NBA show.
Honestly, I'm still going to say the Warriors just because I believe long term over the 82, they have enough guys that have been through those battles that understand the importance of the games, and they have their core unit. When I mean core, I mean Steph and Draymond, like their two best players, and then D'Angelo Russell. So I would still say Golden State. Ask me that question again in a week, it could be completely different.
Well, those are two teams, and getting back to just the Mavericks in general, where health is such an issue, right? If Kristaps Porzingis is healthy the entire season, I think they're a playoff team. And Golden State Warriors, a big question is Klay Thompson going to come back and win? So that is going to affect them as well. But interesting to follow on the Denver side. We thought we had a health situation that was better, and maybe it is, but it's affecting playing time. Michael Porter Jr. has yet to log a single minute for the Nuggets. He averaged 9 points a game in the preseason. He was a popular pick for a lot of people, a little sleeper for Rookie of the Year. Obviously, we know he missed last season with that neck surgery. He's had multiple neck surgeries, I believe. Tim McMahon says that Porter is healthy now. He's just out of the rotation, so it's just a matter of coach's choice. Do you have a sense of why Michael Porter Jr. isn't getting a little bit of time here?
Well, they won all those games without him last year, so if it's not broke, why fix it? And then their biggest offseason acquisition was Jeremy Grant, who basically plays the same position. And so, Torrey Craig got some minutes last night. Perhaps at some point that could be someone that Michael Porter could leapfrog in the rotation. But right now, until last night, they were undefeated. And so you think Mike Malone just goes with what's working.
Mike Malone is not a person that's going to change many things based off other people's opinions, right? That's just not his personality. One thing is, like you said, Grant. Grant is a defender, very athletic, brings energy. You don't have to call plays for him. You don't have to do anything for him. He just impacts the game. And we can't criticize, you want to develop him. They developed Gary Harris. I don't say Jokic that was an anomaly. And Jamal Murray. They've developed players, so we can't criticize their development. So if he's not in the rotation, we just have to believe he shouldn't be in the rotation. That's something that I'll give the Denver Nuggets credit and say, I'm not going to question it based off your last 3 or 4 years in your track history.
You know who's in the rotation? Who? Anthony Davis is in the Lakers rotation. Had a 40-20 game last night. It was AD's biggest game as a Laker. But is he the early favorite for MVP? We will discuss after the break. We will also discuss, is it too soon to have an MVP conversation?
Never.
Never.
Because that kind of happened with the Lakers. Yes. You said you had Kevin Durant going to the Lakers.
Here's what happened. With the Lakers, Kevin Durant was on a commercial shoot. There were a bunch of people that were surrounding him. And they said, he wants out of Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. We think he going to L.A. Now, I should have stopped by saying he leaving OKC. But I got excited. I got excited about the Lakers. So what happened is I said, I think he's going to the Lakers. Yeah. What happened is everybody heard the statement, he's leaving OKC, but they were fixated on me saying, I think he's going to the Lakers. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And they fixated on that. So I had to own it because I should have watched what I said in that regard. The Knicks, it was a different ball game. We was like, Brooklyn and New York, he ain't staying out west. I'm like this. It's got to be the Knicks. It's got to be the Knicks. No way. I said, it's got to be the Knicks. It's got to be the Knicks, right? And I was like, there is no way this man could be talking about coming to New York and he going to go to Atlantic Avenue instead of Fashion Avenue. I can't believe it. There's no way, right? So I'm like, got to be the Knicks. Got to be the Knicks. And then somebody said to me, 95% chance he going to go to New York. I said, fine. And then the second Kyrie Irving fired his agent, I put my head down. He was on national TV. I put my head down. I said, oh, no, this can't be happening. He's going to Brooklyn. And I had to go on the air and say,
please don't tell me this is true.
Please don't tell me this is true.
Amazing. I really actually could listen to Kevin Durant and Stephen A. just read their text messages back and forth to each other out loud. There is some of that on the Boardroom. You can check out more exclusive content on Instagram and catch that free agency frenzy special with Kevin Durant and Stephen A. Smith, now streaming exclusively on ESPN+. Welcome back. I am Rachel Nichols, still here with Richard Jefferson, Dave McMenamin. We got to talk about Anthony Davis because he went off yesterday, dropping 40 points, 20 rebounds against the Grizzlies without playing in the fourth quarter. And this was despite nursing a little shoulder injury going into the night. So, Richard, is AD your early MVP pick?
No. And the reason why is because I think him and Bron will split votes, right? You have to be the singular guy on your team. We haven't seen an MVP maybe since Bron was in Miami where he had other
Steph Curry played on a team with other All-Stars.
Who?
And
Draymond Green was a defensive guy and a facilitator.
One defensive player of a year. Yeah, one of the years that Steph won MVP, no? Who? Am I mixing up my years on when Draymond won defensive player of the year?
I think it was after the MVP.
It was the second year
I just think that they're going to give a little bit of credit.
He was the runner-up.
Right. Klay Thompson.
My point is that he had another guy on his team who was the runner-up defensive player of the year.
You can have other guys on your team. I'm just saying that LeBron James, whatever number, 25, this and that, he's going to get some votes. Anthony Davis is going to get a lot of votes, I believe. But you typically, even when Steph was unanimous MVP, he broke every single record. Right. They had the best record in NBA history. It was extraordinary. Klay Thompson was breaking records, but at no point in time since the day those guys showed up has it ever been anything other than Klay Thompson's team. And that's why I think Steph Curry's team, thank you. It was never Klay Thompson's team. And so that's really what I feel like could stop him from winning an MVP is that he has LeBron James on his side.
Well, here's a short version of why he could put himself in the conversation outside of averaging 29, 13, and 3
so far.
Last night was a big step forward in his career because he is acutely aware of his reputation of being injury prone. Mm-hmm. And his first 4 years in the league, he averaged 17 missed games per year. Now, after that, he got better, 75 games straight. Missed a chunk of games, not because of injury.
That has nothing to do with injuries.
But even if it's old in reality, Richard, one of my favorite quotes you told me years ago, perception is reality. And people still attach that injury prone title to him. And so he fought through this shoulder tightness. He went out and didn't just have a good game. It didn't just help his team get going. We talk about 50, 40, 90 for a season. He created a new statistical category, 40, 20, 30.
Right.
40 points, 20 rebounds, 30 minutes. The least amount of minutes ever to put up those numbers. It's unreal what he was able to do. And LeBron James, whenever he's asked about him, is propping him up.
Yeah.
This isn't like LeBron like kind of embracing him every once in a while and but then still getting his. It is, we asked about him last night. He goes, he's just scratching the surface.
Did you know that Anthony Davis is going to be technically a free agent this summer? LeBron James also knows that. LeBron James also, by the way, obviously everyone around the Lakers wants Anthony Davis to be as happy and comfortable as possible. But LeBron also wants to make, he's ready at this point in his career. He's turning 35 in December to make Anthony Davis the guy. It is a comfortable passing of the torch where even maybe 2 years ago, LeBron was not ready to do that in the same way. And Richard, he's had great teammates. You played with him and Kyrie together. He played with Dwayne Wade. Where do you rank Anthony Davis as sort of skill level of teammate at the moment that they played together?
He is the best teammate he has ever had. This is no disrespect to D. Wade. Kyrie Irving is probably a better scorer to me, right? What he can do. Anthony Davis can win Defensive Player of the Year. Right. So he could be that guy. And then he also can go and give you 40 and 20. So when you can do all of those things on both ends of the floor, you can be the most dominant guy on one end and you can be one of the most dominant guys on the other end. And it's not that that's not a knock on D. Wade, blocks, steals, all that stuff. But at no point in time was D. Wade ever in consideration, in my opinion, for the best defensive player in the league. Right. Anthony Davis can do all of those things. And so if you look at that, he's never had a more complete player. Now, Anthony Davis still has to prove some things in the clutch like D-Wade did, like Kyrie did. But he's never played with a player this talented.
And seeing their rapport is something to behold. I mean, their lockers are next to one another in the locker room. You see them kind of whispering one another on the court and also after the game. I think they get their messaging on the same page before they address the media. And then their personalities match with one another. LeBron James is allowed to kind of be this boisterous, outgoing, effervescent character, foiled against Anthony Davis, who's so even keel. And I think that's good for their teammates, where they can respond even better to that energy from LeBron because they have the constant energy of Anthony Davis.
Right. And look, I think they're legitimately close off the court, right? We've seen Anthony Davis at LeBron's house for Taco Tuesday, so clearly there's, you know, friendship there.
I've never been there.
So we see where Richard ranks.
Friends with you, Richard.
No one's friends with you. It's hard to just be around me.
There we go. Yeah, in fact, Dave is going to move. We're going to move the table, and Dave's going to put that over there later. I want to stick with the Lakers because I do want to get to Kyle Kuzma also. This is your beat. So what is the latest on Kuz's status?
The Lakers varsity team is off today, so he's going down to the JV to get a practice with the South Bay Lakers of the G League, which is certainly a good development. Everything's been going right for him the last several weeks. He went from 4-on-4 no contact to 4-on-4 contact. He's going through full-on sweat drills, sprinting up and down the court. You assume with that G League team he will get 5-on-5 full contact, and he's going to be accompanying the Lakers on this road trip. Frank Vogel said it's a possibility he plays on it. They have Dallas, then San Antonio, then Chicago. I'm not anticipating him playing in Dallas, but the next two games, I think, is certainly a possibility.
Richard, he keeps saying when people talk to him about his recovery, he says, I've been working on this summer and into this recovery the things that the Lakers need. He's like, I'm ready to fill sort of those holes that are there. What do you see him doing in that respect?
Well, I just want to see his percentages from three go up, right? I think he's been a volume scorer. When they were a young team and they were like, we need people to score, and he was one of the guys that can kind of shoot and do a lot of things, could run the floor, could finish. So I think in this space, he's going to get a ton of open shots. If he shoots 35, 37, we're not even talking about in the 40s. If he shoots 37% from three with all the shots now that Anthony Davis is going to create from a double, with all the bigs that they have down there and just the problems on the offensive glass and the offensive rebounds, you get the kick out. LeBron James, what he does in the pick and roll. If he shoots 38% from three and you combine that with all of his other abilities with Anthony Davis and with LeBron James, now we're talking about a team that is in a position to win a lot of games and win a championship if they can get past the Clippers.
He's also got to be tenacious on the defensive side, too. To me, when he talks about filling in holes, that's something where if they can get really strong D at that position, then it's going to make a difference.
And some playmaking, I think. Late in the regular season last year, obviously those games didn't matter, but he was working on his playmaking. And I think you're going to see him playing a lot of the being the primary playmaker with the second unit and then being a part of the closing unit for this group. And so I'm with you. If he doesn't bring the defensive end, then
The defense part, I'm not saying he's limited by any means, but look at the position that he would have to guard defensively, right? Like the position, if you're going to say the three, because you're going to, if Bron is going to guard like a small, like a three and D guy, right? Then that means he's going to have to be guarding the Giannis's, you're not going to put him on a James Harden, because you got Bradley, you have KCP, you have, you know, guys, Danny Green, you have guys that can play those defensive spots. So, like, defensively, it'd be more team defense. So, like, if he does those things, yes. But I don't think he's going to step up and be, like, this elite defender all of a sudden.
I mean, look, Danny Green obviously has a lot of experience defending the James Hardens of the world. Avery Bradley hasn't shown those numbers since he left Boston, basically. Yeah. We'll have to see if he can step into that position. I think they'd like to see some of it from Kuz, though. Wouldn't hurt.
Team defense is as important as individual defense.
We'd mentioned at the top of the show that Trae Young went down with a right ankle sprain in the second quarter against the Heat last night. Now, at this time, the Hawks are listing him as day-to-day. There's optimism he can return early next week. Didn't even need an MRI today. So looked worse than it has turned out to be, which is great news. But still, Richard, do you trust the Hawks to stay afloat for these few games while Trae recovers? Because he was such a focal point of their team in these early going.
No, I don't trust them because they haven't shown me anything. That the reason why they got Trae Young is because they weren't a very good team and they got a high draft pick. And Trae Young has been great, played 81 games for them last year. So he's shown health, and everything that they do is built around him, right? We saw what happened with the Lakers and all of their talent once LeBron James and Rondo went out. So yeah, you're going to have injury. Hopefully this is only like a week and he can get back. But he was a conference player of the week.
Yeah.
So like he's doing everything for him. Scores, assists. They still have talent on their team. I just don't see them playing 3-2 over 5 games without him.
Yeah, it might not be like 5 games. Yeah. Look at the schedule. It's kind of soft in terms of actually the amount of games they have coming up. I think it's only one game in the next 6 days or something like that.
They'll be fine.
They'll be fine. And then you still have guys like John Collins, who's coming in to his own. Herter, who we all like. And, and Lloyd Pierce gets those guys to play hard.
Right.
Yeah.
They do face the Heat again. It was interesting to see in the first quarter and a half last night while he was playing, Spoelstra sent a double. Anytime he touched the ball, there was no more room for him in the same way. And he was still scoring. So obviously he knows how to handle it. But I think the attention he's going to get this season has already escalated from game one to game 3 or 4 that they were playing last.
We all need him back. We all want to watch him.
He's so fun.
He's awesome. Yeah.
He's so fun. One thing I really have liked about him, and we saw it when he had some trouble at Oklahoma, and then we saw it again when sort of he had some trouble at the beginning of his rookie season, he adjusts. He understands there's a learning curve. He is mature enough right, to take things that are difficult and deal with them. We've seen players not able to do that when they come into the NBA. So just like this, as you mentioned, he was healthy all last season. Even if he has to adjust to this ankle as he comes back from it, I think he'll be just fine. Coming up, we're going to talk about Kawhi Leonard because he is sitting out tonight's game due to load management. Is this early in the season for the Clippers to start doing this? And did I mention it's a national TV game tonight and it's also on the road, which the NBA has policies against? But we have some news on that front, so stay tuned for that. First, though, here's also what The Jump recommends for today. Brian Windhorst has a column on how some teams are already looking to fill roster holes in this early going this season. Andre Iguodala, Kevin Love, two trade options several teams will be looking into. Check it out during the break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Kevin Negania, head on SportsCenter at 6 Eastern. We're live from Game 7 of the World Series, what Mad Max must do to deliver a championship to D.C. tonight. Plus, live from Bucks Celtics, how Kemba Walker raises the bar in Boston. And Baker Mayfield's boiling point. New reactions to the Browns quarterback fuming with the media. SportsCenter with Sid Steele and me, right after PTI.
Tonight's NBA Wednesday doubleheader starts with the Bucks and Celtics at 7:30 Eastern. Then it's the Jazz hosting the Clippers, coverage beginning with Stephen A's pregame Sports Center, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and the app. And guys, so we have that Bucks-Celtics matchup on ESPN tonight. One to watch, Jason Tatum, already a nominee for Eastern Conference Player of the Week last week. He's averaging 20 points a game, 9 rebounds a game. And look, Richard, we had high expectations for him last season. Obviously, nothing went as expected for the Celtics last year. So what about this year? Is Jason ready to take that leap?
I think he will continue to make leaps, not only this year, but in the years coming. Like, he's, what, 23 years old? He's going to be a better player at 25. He's going to be a better player at 27. I know we in the media and sometimes fans can get impatient, but this can be a gradual process. Well, each year he gets better, adds something new to his game. I think we're so far away from seeing the best Jason Tatum, but this is a great step in the right direction, but they still have to do it over 82 because this team is coming off long-term success.
His skill set is unbelievable. I imagine it will keep him being a successful player no matter where he is for the rest of his career. It's just a level of success. What do we expect?
Right.
He started that first playoff run with the Celtics, dynamite. That 20-point scoring streak got him to the Eastern Conference Finals, got him within a quarter of the NBA Finals. And so he was anointed to be the next coming. Mm-hmm. But maybe 20-9 type of player, if that's his ceiling, that's okay.
Right.
I mean, he's in his third year. We don't know it's his ceiling, but that's already a very promising development. The thing is now, the excuses are gone. You can't say that Kyrie Irving is stunting my development. You can't say that we have the weighted expectations of being a 65-win team that they were last year. It's just go out and ball and make incremental progress in your game. And he seems to have the dedication of the game to do that.
Now, the kind of player he would like to be when you're talking about what his potential is Kobe Bryant. That's his guy, right? I don't think anyone is the next Kobe Bryant, but, you know, he could definitely be still a star, as Boston fans would love him to be.
He's 21. He's 21.
You aged him 2 years?
I aged him 2 years. That's how good he is. I thought he was older.
He's mature.
He's
a
very good.
Son. We get to see a game sometimes.
That's right.
So, you know, there you go.
Deuce.
Here we go again. Clippers announcing that Kawhi Leonard will sit tonight's game against the Jazz for load management. This seems counter to NBA rules on, you know, not resting players for nationally televised games, not resting players on the road. Those rules that were put in place about a year and a half ago, they called that Adam Silver is allowed to fine teams up to $100,000. So I did call the league office and sort of said, hey, you guys looking into this at all? And the league office told me the Clippers actually got this approved in advance and that they are, quote, currently in compliance with the policy. Dave, is it too early to load manage Kawhi? The official designation says load management slash knee, which is interesting to me. I wonder if it is rest for a specific medical issue. But again, it's load management. That's what they're calling it.
We can't say it's too early because the evidence was last season the Toronto Raptors rested Kawhi for 22 games and won a championship. And so the Clippers can just say, all right, let's take that, apply it to our situation. Why would we not rest him? And we're trying to play for June, obviously. They're not trying to rush Paul George back, and they're not trying to overwork Kawhi Leonard in November. And so it's not fun for us as the fan, as the viewer, to watch and tune in and see the Clippers without them, as much as we love Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams and all those pieces, because Kawhi's that special. But I'd rather see him be at his best in a playoff game where all the stakes matter versus risk something at this stage of the season?
It's a back-to-back for the Clippers, and Doc Rivers came out and said he should play tomorrow night against San Antonio, which is not a nationally televised game. Although, again, against San Antonio, they would probably be shouting if he didn't play that one instead. So,
well, you brought up a good point. You said you talked to the league and you asked them, and they said they're in compliance. When the league schedule comes out and they're saying, okay, listen, if he's healthy, these are the games that we might want to rest him, right? So you contact the league and say, hey, these are the games that we might want to rest a guy that's coming off a knee surgery. These are it. If you still choose to put them on national television, we've let you know. And you made a good point.
Does
where
it work in that order?
What do you mean?
The schedule comes out in August.
Well, I'm just saying if when the NBA schedule comes out and then, you know, whatever the national television schedule comes out. I'm new to this, so just bear with me, right?
You work for this network.
Yeah, but I'm brand new. I'm like the Jason Tatum of this, right? Bear with me. I got talent. I'm trying to get better.
He has hair, though.
A lot more hair. Mm-hmm. But no, I just more think that, like, if you're letting the NBA know, what they were getting upset about is when guys were showing up and they were like, oh, we're going to send these guys home, right? The NBA was finding out day of or the day before that these guys weren't going to be on national television. I think that if you're letting the NBA know ahead of time, I think that's a much easier process. And like you said, they want to play till June. And a guy just got done finished playing in June. So resting him a little early, I think that's probably the best bet.
And you make such a great point about the Spurs game. If he set that one out, it would be so much backlash for it. He's trying to avoid Greg Popovich. That's on the schedule makers then. Don't schedule this as a back-to-back. Seriously, if both those games matter, you have to recognize that there's potential for him to pick and choose.
I am interested to watch this. I've been asking Adam Silver about this really since the draft lottery, with a couple times we've had him on this show, about, hey, are we just going to see this more? And I think that all your points are exactly valid. This is what they need to do to play till June. This is what they did and they talked to the league about it, and obviously they had good enough reasons. Well, if that's the case, you have a schedule set up where one of your best players and maybe a couple others following suit will say, huh, we just shouldn't play all these games. What does that tell your national TV partners? What does that tell the fans who buy tickets? And I think that that is leading to these serious discussions. We heard for the first time in the last few months that the competition committee is actually now looking at specific proposals for a shortened schedule. We're still a ways away from that. It hasn't happened yet, but it is being discussed in a way it has never been, at a level, higher level, it has never been discussed before.
I agree, right? And I think, I don't like the idea of shortening schedule, and we don't have to get into that, but I think for players, you know what your body feels like. And there's something to be said about being able to play that 82 that guys have played for 50, 60, like guys have done it the entire NBA. You should be able to do it. And they already made changes. There's less back-to-backs. Mm-hmm. There's an easier travel
less
schedule.
Four and five.
There's less training camp. They have dialed back so much that now you're like, we're just going to only have them play 70 games. I don't think that's the answer. We can't keep going back and giving more and more and more. It's like, hey, let's just play a 25-game schedule, have a single elimination championship, and call it a day. I think you're getting away from what being a professional means.
I mean, but you might not get to decide that. If they're resting him games.
Oh, they could care less what I think.
But that's the thing, is that you can legislate it and say, hey, it's got to be 82 and we're standing firm. And if you give a little here, it's just going to keep going, slippery slope, all of that stuff. But if the teams are finding ways and elite players are finding ways, I'm watching an example of a guy who rested for a certain percentage of games and then won finals MVP and won a title doing it. You can make the rules one way, but as we see, they got permission to do this, and they said, hey, it's within the structure.
Well, you've also had examples of guys playing 82 and winning championships and winning MVP. So we can't just look at this because we're coming off this year. He was coming off a legitimate knee injury. We saw him struggle through the postseason. His knee was bothering him. We can't compare that to a completely healthy guy that just wants a day off. That's the part that I think is apples and oranges, and we need to evaluate that.
We'll see what happens, right? Because I agree with you. Look, he had a little limp when he was getting off the airplane for his free agency meetings, right? So this is totally legit, and it's legit clearly in the way they're managing it, because they've run it through the league, and the league had such a concern about this, they instituted a $100,000 fine, and they're like, no, this one's actually okay. I am just interested in the copycat nature of the way the NBA works and whether we're going to see more of it.
We're also saying we want teams to be honest about their player injuries, which doesn't happen. Sorry, folks. So I'm not so sure if we're going to get that information coming out anytime soon.
Up next, we're going to preview the Battle of the Big Men. Tonight, Carl Anthony Towns faces off against Joel Embiid. Kat is downplaying the matchup, and Joel Embiid has told me he's not going to trash talk anymore. And Carl Anthony Towns is one of his favorite former targets. So this is going to be interesting. First, though, it's time for our second distant replay of the day. This one is this date in 2001. Take a look. That is old school.
Oh, I remember this.
Boom.
I remember that.
Oh, my.
Look at that. He looked up. He looked up, and there was just no need for that type of sexy. Look at that. Look at that.
The velocity on doing that, right? It's more than the direction and the behind the back.
So good.
It's crunch time here on The Jump. Talk a little bit about Mike Conley. A little bit of a rocky start with Utah because he shot 0-for-7 on Monday in Phoenix, shooting 20% from the field through four games. That is the worst in the league amongst players with multiple starts. The Jazz host the Clippers tonight, but no Kawhi Leonard. So, Richard, where are you on Conley's start? Are you concerned? Do you think tonight he can get going past a defense that's still going to be tough without Kawhi?
Well, yeah, I think Patrick Beverley's a problem, but I think he'll be fine. He's in a new place for the first time, and he's trying to fit in. He's not the best player. He's probably the third best player, so it's going to take some time.
He's missing shots he can make, though. He's proven that over and over and over again in his career. I'm not concerned at all. Is he going to shoot 50% for the season? Maybe not, but I'm not concerned he's going to get much better.
To me, like James Harden, it's small sample size theater. Willie Cauley-Stein making his Warriors debut tonight. Golden State, major issues with their front court depth. They're giving up an average of 128 points a game, second worst in the league. So how much of an impact do you guys think that a healthy Cauley-Stein could have?
Well, if we've gotten to the point where we're worrying or wondering about Willie Cauley-Stein saving the Warriors, then wow, how far have we fallen with that team? But if he just sets some hard screens, protects the rim, finishes at the rim, get some rebounds, then he's done his job, and all they need is a bunch of guys giving some incremental help alongside Steph Curry.
It's going to help a lot. Steph in a pick and roll with him rolling, Draymond hitting him, creating space for some of their shooters. It'll help a lot.
Yeah, look, I mean, you've got lots of holes.
By a lot, I mean,
you can hold
by a lot, I mean any amount of help.
There you go, sure. Yeah.
There you go. Battle of the Undefeateds tonight, the 3-0 Timberwolves at the 3-0 Sixers. This game, of course, features a matchup of all-star big men, Joel Embiid and Carl Anthony Towns. Kat has been on fire at the start of this season. I cannot stress enough. He leads all big men in scoring, 32 a game. He wasn't so into the hype, though, when asked about Joel.
And everybody else is like, oh, Carl and Joel. And I know you're scouting and looking at film, but how much are you paying any attention really to the individual?
I don't know. I mean, it's a game about trying to find a team to win. I mean, I know everyone wants to hype it up. I mean, that's what sells papers. But I ain't in the business of making out money. I'm in the business of getting W's.
I am personally excited that Carl Anthony Towns thinks anything
sells papers. I was like,
anymore.
Nothing
that's
sells
awesome.
Newspaper. Good, yeah.
Someone who started a newspaper. I love hearing that. But is it smart, Richard, for Kat to downplay this matchup?
That's what is talked about being a professional. He's now a leader. He is a professional. He is putting the team above himself. He's not worried about an individual matchup. Like, yes, if he gets murdered, if he gets killed in that matchup, it's not going to help. But he's just saying, like, this is about my team. I want to do whatever it takes for my team. I'm not going to go out there and try and outscore him or try and outduel him at the cost of the team. And I think that's a step towards being a leader. That gives me a little bit of hope for the Timberwolves.
He also won't be able to out-trash talk him. He won't be able to out-antic him. Those are some of the best things that Joel Embiid is in the league at doing those things. And also, this gets back to Sun Tzu, Art of War, knowing your opponent.
Right.
Joel Embiid told Zach Lowe on a podcast this summer that the reason why he doesn't mess with Jokic is that he just goes out and does his job. Well, Kat, go out and do your job, and Joel Embiid will leave you alone.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I've heard a lot from Joel about how he is going to be no trash talker. He's going to just, you know, we'll see. Carl Anthony Towns has been a tantalizing target for him in the past. But, you know, as I said, Kat is just, he's playing so well right now. Our league pass game of the night, Blazers at Thunder. This is the end of a four-game road trip for Portland at OKC in a game that's a pick 'em, according to Vegas. We're just four games into the season. But Dame and CJ both averaging career highs in scoring. So is this the year CJ McCollum becomes an all-star, Dave McMenamin?
I say no. I don't think they're going to win enough games to be in consideration for two all-stars. Dame's the better player.
I hope it is, because CJ, to me, is one of the best two guards, and he's not done it 1 year, not done it 2 years. He's done it multiple years in his career. I think they've tried to keep Dame out of the All-Star game multiple times when they were when he was the sixth or seventh.
No one's trying to keep Dame out of the
How do you not vote for a guy that has been into the playoffs every single year, Rachel? Not trying, but just
position in the West. I think he's an All-Star. I have voted for him for All-Star. I'm just saying
I can't
that
vote.
Steph, Harden,
you can't
Russ.
Vote.
There's
you
big
can't
big
vote.
CJ, I'm rooting for you, big
All-Stars.
Fella.
Maybe CJ McCollum will get in there. We'll see. We'll see you tomorrow.
CJ, you can do it.